Psalm 37 this morning, as you find it, we're going to be here for the next couple of weeks as we look at this passage in Psalm 37. This is a psalm of perspective. Now, this morning, I'm not going to share with you any new knowledge. This morning, what I hope to share with you is I need to apply what I know. So this morning, as you find Psalm 37, I want you to think about perspective. Perspective in how we interact and how we look at our world. Perhaps this morning, you might think this is kind of funny. As I go around and I Googled this week, funny perspective pictures. I took a lot of time and I laughed. Because these are funny, these bring me joy, and they bring a smile to my face. What's also interesting is in the homework that you have this afternoon is you can look at perspective pictures before and after. Because one person took this picture, but if you stand just a foot, either left or right, forward or backward, their perspective looks completely different. And it makes you sit and wonder, sometimes our perspective can change with just a foot. And sometimes, friends, we get so wrapped up in the things of this world that we lose perspective of what God is doing in our lives. So hopefully by now you're in Psalm 37. It's a psalm that is written by David. Most commentators believe and agree that this is written at the end of his life. So as I study and as we present this passage over the next few weeks, I want you to think about an older gentleman. Perhaps he has gray hair, perhaps he has no hair. That at the end of his life, he is looking back. We know the life of David. David has had many wonderful successes with the Lord. David and Goliath, David and the Philistines, David in Jerusalem. He has many wins with the Lord under his belt. We also know that David has had some pitfalls, some serious sin in his life. And through it all, he's sitting at the end of his life, sitting in his rocking chair, looking back and evaluating his life, and he's writing this to his children. And we get the privilege of sitting at his feet, looking at the power of God's word. Some commentators say David might have written this at a time of illness. Now, if you've ever been ill, and I'm not talking about a head cold. I'm talking about perhaps life and death. It really changes your perspective. Perhaps you've had a loved one that the doctor has called and said, I'm sorry, it's cancer. It really takes and jolts your worldview and puts things into perspective very, very quickly. David, perhaps, is at a crossroads where he doesn't know if he's going to make it physically. So he takes time to evaluate his life, and he's jotting this down, what we know is now Psalm 37, and he's putting these words of wisdom to his children. If you look at the Hebrew language, it's written in an acrostic. Each verse is a new letter so that each of their children can remember what David has written. So if you will, the A, B, C, D, E, F, G of these verses are helping the children to remember what he has written down. So by now we're in Psalm 37. As we read through this, we're going to cover the first 11 verses this morning. I want you to think of an older man, full of wisdom, looking back. In a moment of vulnerability, I don't ever want to just come up and tell you this is what the Bible says, although that's really good. I want to teach you and proclaim to you a life that has been changed by God's word. And this morning, I'm going to be open and be raw because the Lord has had to sit me down and teach me going, before you teach this, you need to apply this to your own life. So here we go. Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. David writes, "Do not fret If you have a different translation, do not worry. So many times I worry. And some of you are going to take and talk to me afterwards, says, Pastor, don't worry. Bible says, do not worry, because what can you do by worrying? You can't add to your life. You're right. I now have a lot of pastoral concern. Does that sound better? No. But how many of us sit in our chairs and we wring our hands out of worry and out of stress? I do. And I would submit to you humbly, you do as well. And we worry and we stress because we want control. If we're in a situation that we cannot control, we try to grasp for control by worrying and stressing, by fretting. So here comes David, however old he is, this older gentleman sitting back in his 80s, 90s, 70s, it doesn't matter. Looking back over his life saying, young children, don't worry. I wish I would have heard this when I was 20, because I did. I'm gonna look back when I'm 60 and I'm 40, and I'm gonna look back and say, I wish someone would have told me this when I was 40. And someone's gonna say, go look online, it's online. Go listen to your own words. When I'm 80, I'm going to look back at 60 and say, I wish I wouldn't have worried so much. And when I'm 100, I'm going to sit in heaven and say, boy, this is so wonderful. Do not worry. Do not fret. So easy to say, and yet, friends, it's so hard to do. But here comes David saying, do not fret. If you want to mark in your Bibles, this is one of the only negative commands in this psalm. So he's going to tell us what not to do. Do not worry, do not fret because of evildoers, because of those that are doing wrong. We spend so much time, not we, me, that's me presuming on you. I spend so much time looking around at those that are doing evil, and I'm so frustrated and I'm so worried about what about them, that what happens is I forget and I take my perspective off of what God is doing. And I lose my eternal perspective because I'm so earthly focused. David is writing to his children saying, do not worry about those that are doing wrong. Do not be envious. Don't be jealous towards those that are walking outside of God's word. So many times we lose perspective because we start focusing on other people and not walking in obedience to God and His word. And so many times, friends, we lose perspective. David says, for they, who is they? Those that do not walk in obedience, for they will quickly wither like the grass. We love the grass right now. That was a great place to say amen, and you missed it. Guess what? I have great news. In 6 months, you're plowing. That's right, we can all cry. In 6 months, the grass is going to die. Some of you are saying, actually, it's 4.5, but who's counting? In 4.5 months, Holly's going to be able to look at me and say, honey, if it's green, it grows. Because I have a landscaping business. It's Tom's Weed Whacker. I fire it up, and if it's green, it goes. Just mow it all down. Side note, your wife gets really upset when you mow over her lilac bush. But don't worry, for 1995, I can make that right. Here comes David sitting back in his rocking chair saying, don't be envious. Don't worry about those that are not walking in obedience to God's word. They're here for a while, a season, and then they're gone. They fade like the green shrub. Our shrubs will pass away. David's sitting out, and whether he's in his kingdom, wherever he is, looking out in the greenness of Israel. And he's reminded there's a season of growth and there's a season of death. And he reminds his children, keep focused on God. The question that I have for you this morning, where is your focus? Where is your perspective? When we look at God and keep our eyes on him, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But friends, if we would be open with each other, sometimes we spend a whole lot of time looking on earth and losing perspective of the eternal. Where's your focus? Where is your time being spent? Is it in God's word? Or is it in the world? Because if you spend time following the things of this world, your perspective's going to be down here. If you spend time following God and his word, you're going to be focused on the things of God. That's really easy to say, and it's really hard to do. So I don't bring this to you saying, look at what I'm doing. I bring this to you saying, God had to deal with me this week and remind me to don't fret. Tom, don't worry. But God, Tom, don't worry. So he tells us what not to do. Do not worry. All right, I understand, but what am I to do? Well, this is a lot of action verbs that we can take. Trust in the Lord. Have confidence in God. God is in control. Friends, God has a plan. His plan is not necessarily my plan. I would submit your plan is not necessarily God's plan, but God is in control. I'm pretty sure God is in heaven. I know God is in heaven saying, this is the plan. I have it under control. And friends, this morning, I wonder, are you trusting in the Lord? Are you taking time to have confidence in the Lord that what he is doing, it is his perfect plan delivered on his perfect time? And yet this morning, friends, oftentimes we want God's perfect plan delivered on our time. David sitting back in your rocking chair saying, oh, children, trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord and do good. Do good. Follow and walk in obedience to what God has said. Dwell in the land. The Israelites, they took over the promised land. Don't leave the blessings of the land. Friends, this morning, we have something to dwell in. It's God's word. When's the last time we spent time in God's word? How many of you had to try to figure out where your Bible was for church this morning? When's the last time you spent time in God's word? Think about David, what he's doing. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Walk in obedience to his word. Dwell in God's word, and you will grow and cultivate faithfulness. Look at the action verbs. Delight yourself. This week, I delighted myself in the best ice cream I've ever had. Oh, friends, it was good. The two things I thought about, one of them was good, one of them was bad. The bad one was, I wonder how many calories are in this. I said, get away from me, Satan. I put that out of there. And I looked at that ice cream and I thought, oh, this is good. The only thing is, I wish there was more. When's the last time I sat down and looked at God's word and said, oh, it's so good? But sometimes when I get frustrated or angry with the Lord because somebody's doing something I don't like, I get frustrated and I walk away from God's word. Not forever, but for a season. And I don't take time, I don't delight, I don't take pleasure in spending time with God because I'm angry with God. And that's why David starts out and says, do not worry. Keep your perspective on the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do not misapply this. I want to apply it the way everybody else does. That God is a genie, that he'll just give you whatever you want. Just send in your seed money. That's all it takes. That is a distortion of God's word. How does God give me the desires of my heart? Because I spend time in his word. And when I spend time with God in his word, I know what his word says. And those rough edges that are on me, which, by the way, I have rough edges, they begin to be sanded by God's word. And I realize what he wants for my life. And I orient myself not on the things of earth, but I focus on the things of God because I have spent time with God and his word. Second question I have for you this morning is, do I enjoy spending time with the Lord? Do I enjoy spending time reading his word? Seasons come and seasons go. This is a relationship we have with the Lord, just like our earthly relationships we have. Sometimes things are going really, really well, and sometimes there are potholes in our relationship with the Lord. But one thing I don't want you to do is get so focused on the earth that we forget about the eternal. And let us focus and take time to spend time with God and his word. How often do we get frustrated and we close our Bibles and we just take time away from God? Don't allow the perspective to be changed by looking at the earth. This Sunday, we celebrate Baccalaureate Sunday. In about 45 minutes, the graduates will come in. And it's a time that we will honor them. What a great opportunity we have to speak truth into the lives of our graduates, whether it's eighth grade, seniors in high school, college, or even the cute little kindergartner graduations. What a great opportunity we have for us to sit there and tell them, learn from us. Let's spend time with God and his word. David continues writing, he says, commit your way to the Lord. Pledge your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. Because I am focused on God and spending time in his word. He will bring forth your righteousness as light. Righteousness is right standing. How do I have right standing? It's with what Jesus did on the cross. Friends, it's not about what we can do for God. It's about what God has done for us. And David, sitting on his rocking chair, I can just see him in my mind's eye. Oh, children, don't get worried. Don't worry about the evil people, about those that don't follow the Lord. They're going to be here for a season. You focus on the Lord. You pledge to follow God and his word. Walk in obedience. And then God will bring your righteousness to you, not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you. That's why we're here. That's why we can sing, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. Rest in the Lord. Rest. I looked up the Hebrew word for rest. You know what it means? Rest. I just saved you 6 years of seminary for that tidbit. Slow down. We're so busy. I am so busy. Don't be concerned. But we're all busy. I look out and I know what some of you are doing. You've got multiple kids in multiple sports doing multiple things, plus your own stuff. And you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. David sitting back in his rocking chair, however old he is, I can sit here seeing him saying, just relax. It'll be okay. Wait patiently. I did a study on the word patiently, but I ran out of patience to finish it because I'm not a patient person, because I have a way that I want things done and God's not doing it. Put your mind's eye, your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather. Slow down. It'll be okay. Do not fret. Again, we see this. We saw it verse 1, verse 7, and verse 8. Do not worry. When something is repeated, it is worth noting. Do not worry because of him who prospers in his way. He's focusing on the wrong thing. You keep your focus on the Lord. Don't worry about the guy or gal that's doing his own thing, because the wicked man who carries out schemes. Don't worry about the earthly perspective. You keep your focus on the Lord. Cease from anger. Whenever you get really worked up, you might get angry. Without a showing of hands this morning, perhaps you're going to look down from me, which will be an acknowledgement that you felt the same way. Over the last 2 or 3 years, have you gotten angry at something? Have you wanted to put your remote through the TV? Have you wanted to put your foot through the TV? Maybe you have put something through the TV. And you've gotten angry because things have happened and you've gotten so worked up. Here comes David saying, just stop being angry. And stop being wrathful. It's going to be okay. I don't want to be funny. I want to be serious. I've read the end of the book. God wins. That should bring us comfort. And yet we lose perspective of eternity because we look at the things of earth. He says this, evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, those that trust in him, those that walk in obedience to God and his word will inherit the land. They will inherit heaven because they're walking in obedience to God, because they're trusting in the righteousness that was given by Christ. Now, David's writing to Israel. We're applying this today because we are not Israel. But when we walk in obedience to God and his word, we will inherit the blessings of eternity. Yet for a little while, the wicked man will be here. He will be no more. Just like the grass is going to go in 4.5 months. And Tom's Weed Whacker service is going to come. I can do that for $19.95 to help you out, because that is my ministry to you. The grass is going to go. The flowers are going to be cut down. They're going to be put away. For a season, they're here. Let's not lose perspective on eternity by looking at the earth. He says in verse 11, the humble will inherit the land. The humble, the meek, those that walk in obedience to God and his word will not inherit land. They will inherit heaven. Now, if you really want to do a great study in verse 11, it says they will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The Hebrew word for prosperity is not prosperity as we think about it. It's peace. And I would submit to you this morning, friends, what we really want is peace. Ultimately, we want peace with God. But we can't have that if we're earthly focused and not eternally perspective. Third and final question I have for you is, what are you going to inherit? You're either going to inherit life everlasting as we focus on God, or we're going to focus on the things of this earth that won't last. You're going to inherit one of two things. The question I have for you on verse 11 is, what are you going to inherit? As you evaluate, as you sit, and as you think, what are you going to inherit? Three questions from the first 11 verses. First question is, what are you focused on this morning? Where is your focus? Is it on the things of earth? Or is it on the things of eternity? Because when you look at the things of eternity, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace? Second question, are you taking time to delight in the Lord? Are you taking time to spend with God reading his word, or are you so busy not resting that you're running around acting like a chicken with your head cut off? Friends, I am. I need to slow down. How am I doing that? I don't know. I'll let you know. But this week, verse 7, rest. Rest. Third and final question, what are you going to inherit? The things of the earth that will be gone, or the things of heaven that will last forever? Easy to say, hard to do. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. As you get ready to close your Bibles, this morning I wonder, friends, if I can pray for you in any specific way. Maybe you've been challenged by God's word, as I have been challenged by God's word. And you'd say this morning, would you pray for me that my focus would be upon the Lord? Because my focus has gotten out of perspective. Would you pray for me this week that I could keep my focus on the Lord? Would you slip up your hand? Anybody? I see that hand. Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5. Is there anybody that would say to me, would you pray for me because I've been so frustrated that I've not spent time with God and his word? I need to get back. Would you pray for me that I could have a hunger for God and his word and enjoy spending time with God and his word this morning and this week? Is there anybody here? See that hand. Thank you. 2, 3 hands. Is there anybody here in the most vulnerable moments between you and me and the Lord, you would say, I am not going to inherit the things of heaven because I'm trying to do this all on my own. But I need to inherit it based upon what God has said. And I don't have a relationship with Christ. Would you make sure that you see me and I see you, because that is the most important inheritance you can ever have. If you're in the building, if you're online, would you let me know? Because that is the most important inheritance you could ever have. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the life of David, who had his great ups and downs, and he also had a time of knowledge as he wrote Psalm 37. Lord, help us to keep our focus on you. Lord, help us not to be so earthly focused that we lose perspective of eternity. Lord, that is so easy to say, and it is so hard to do. Lord, help us. For those with the uplifted hand, for those with the uplifted heart, oh God, help us. Help us to keep eternally focused that you are in control. You have won everything. God, give us your eyes to see past the earthly into the eternal. Lord, give us a hunger for your word. If we've been frustrated, Lord, help us to understand that we need to spend time with you and your word. Help us to dwell and rest in you. Lord, again, this is easy to say. It's knowledge that we already have, but Lord, help us to apply it. If there's somebody here this morning, whether in the building or online, that is not inheriting the things of heaven because they don't have the righteousness of Jesus, who came to pay a debt he did not owe, because we have a debt we cannot pay. May this morning be the morning they inherit the kingdom of heaven because they accept the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord, give them such a holy discontent until they talk to somebody to inherit the things of heaven. We're so thankful for Jesus, for him making this all possible. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.